Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1 and 15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can't do this, you can't do it, and you can't do certain things. It don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. Travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to another episode or another broadcast of Kingdom of God Ministries. We're so happy you could tune in. And I just wanted to say our program for last week, it was phenomenal. We had a lot of people listening, and hopefully we will have a audience this week today. We later on in the broadcast, we have a young lady that will come on live, and she will be sharing her testimony of how she was involved in the occult and how through the power of God she was. Well, she's going through some deliverance, but she just wanted to share her testimony to let a lot of people know, Christians out there that is dabbling in forms of the occult out of ignorance, and some people, they just want this false anointing that we will be talking about tonight. So whatever means they need to do to get it, that's what they will do. If it means consulting mediums and doing necromancy and anything like that, they want this power. But the true power and the true anointing is in Christ Jesus. You can't come up no other way but through Christ Jesus. So like I said earlier, tonight we will be teaching on the anointing destroys the yoke. Before we get into the program, I wanted to give a few announcements. We will be having service at the Smyrna Community Service this Sunday from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. So if you are in the metropolitan area, you can feel free to join us and hear the word of God. We're not of not a lot of form and fashion. It's just the word of God going forth in power and anointing. And that's what we're trying to do. As the first century church, when they gathered together, they were lifting up the name of Jesus, singing hymns, and worshiping the Almighty God. And that's our principle here at Kingdom of God Ministries. We just lift up the name of Jesus. It's not about ourselves. It's not about us putting a lot of accolades or look at us and we got gimmicks to get you in there. Because we believe that if God be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. Not unto us, but unto him. So with that, we will have Pastor Montgomery to open with prayer. And then we will go forth in our teaching for tonight. The anointing destroys the yoke. Pastor Montgomery, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. You can open with prayer.
Okay. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, we ask that you touch and bless the listeners on tonight. Touch their minds, touch their body, soul, and spirit, Father God, that they will receive your anointed word for their deliverance. Father God, give them revelations on the word that they hear. Let the word of God soak deep down within their hearts that they can receive what you have for them on tonight. Father God, we ask that you bless, deliver, and set free. And right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come against any hindering spirits that would try to hinder the progress of this program. We come against them, we bind them up, and we cast them out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So, Father God, we thank you for touching the hearts and minds of everyone that is listening. We say this in faith because we believe that it is done right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Sister Montgomery, go ahead.
Amen. And I just want to say also our services on Sunday, we will have a special guest, Brother Kiyomo Butler of Restoration Church. He will be bringing the word of God. So, like I said, if you could join us, tell someone. Tell people in the area that Kingdom of God is in the area. And if they need deliverance, if they need to be set free, just have them to join us. And the power of God is moving. Amen? Amen. Like I said tonight, we will later on in the broadcast, we will be bringing on a special guest. She will share her testimony of how she was deceived to get into this false anointing, and she was naive because she thought it was the Lord. So we'll get into that a little later. But tonight, we're talking about the anointing destroys the yoke. And I'm coming out of Isaiah 11, 1 through 3. It says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Now, what I want to bring out, this prophecy is about the Messiah. It's about Jesus, which in Hebrews means the anointed one, Christ. In the Greek also, as it turns out, it means the anointed one. These words have become so familiar as titles for Jesus in the English that we often neglect the very meaning of the title used. You know, let's not forget that Jesus Christ another way, Jesus is the anointed one. So if you have Jesus in you, you have the anointed one, the power of God in you. Okay? The nature of the anointed one, and this is out of Luke 14, 18 through 19. Luke 4, 18 through 19, and this is our theme. This is Kingdom of God's theme. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the prisoners of war and recovery of sight to the blind, to send away free those whom tyranny has crushed, to proclaim the year of the acceptance with the Lord. This is what Jesus came to do, to break the yoke of Satan that have so many people captive, so many people in bondage. The power of God, the anointing, destroys, annihilates the yoke of bondage. So we no longer need to be walking around bound up, oppressed, depressed, possessed of the enemy, of the devil. I see so many of God's people, they go to church day in, day out, day in, day out, and they are oppressed. They are bound up. And I was asking God, I say, now you got churches with thousands upon thousands of people. Why is the people so bound up today? Because the anointing of God is not going forth in those services. Later on, I'll bring out how when Jesus walked through this particular area, because of the anointing in him, demons would cry out. You can't tell me. You got thousands of people sitting in congregations, and you don't see any demons crying out. You don't really see a lot of people living a victorious life. This is what the anointing did. This is why he said, I came, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news. Hey, there's good news tonight. Good news is that when you receive Jesus, you don't have to be bound up. The power of God has broken the yoke of the enemy. Tonight, if you're bound up, let the Lord saturate your heart. Receive Jesus Christ in your heart. He can break every demonic bondage in your life tonight. If we are in Christ or in the anointed one, then we share his anointing. But the first step, you have to receive him. And see, this is what gets people messed up, because they want to get the anointing, but they don't necessarily want Christ. So we're going to be talking about false anointing, where they'll seek out their own desire for the power and the anointing. It's a selfish desire, because they're not going on the unction of the Holy Spirit. They're going by their own flesh. So they want the power. I want to be able, and I'll get to that, how the Simon the sorcerer, he wanted the power, but not necessarily did he want Jesus Christ. But what has come to be known as the anointing today, when you hear that word anointing, they use it in pop Christianity as it has little to do with the anointed one or Christ. It's more like a depersonalized force that we control. You see how we control, not the Holy Spirit, but you in control. Believe it or not, arrogant and boastful men, they order the Holy Spirit, the sovereign God around, as it is described as the anointing. So they try to command God. They're very arrogant. And that's one attribute, that's one characteristic of a false prophet, because he pulls people to him and he don't pull them to God. If you see this going on, you need to run, because if they don't repent, God will deal with them. And I see it throughout a lot of programs. Men get up, they're boastful, they're arrogant. They're pulling people to them, and they're not pulling to God. That is what a true man and woman of God should be doing, bringing people to the cross for repentance, for that the Spirit of God convict them, and they began to repent. Repent and turn from your ways. This is what the power of God do. So now we see this is a pop Christianity, everybody can be anointed. You see secular singers, people say, oh, they're anointed of God. You are not anointed of God if you don't have the Spirit of God in you. You're not anointed. You may have a gift, but you're not anointed. And if you are anointed and you don't have God, I will have to say you are anointed of Satan. Satan can give anointings too. He was the anointed cherub. He was over the music department up in heaven. He was beautiful, you see? But not, he said, I will exalt, he tried to exalt himself against the Most High God. Most people that is in the entertainment industry, idols, they pour people to them. They worship them. It's about me. Look at Hollywood. Most of the people up there, they'll get up there at the Grammys and say, oh, I want to thank God. But what God are you thanking? Is it the God of this world? Because if it was the God of Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there would be a change in your life. You can't tell me if the anointed one is living in you, there won't be a change. Your lifestyle will be different. You will walk different. You will talk different. Everything about you, because the anointed one is living in you. Let me go on, because I got to bring Pastor Body on. You may find it interesting to know that the place in Scripture that most talk about the anointing is the context of warning. Because those who come in the spirit opposite of Christ or antichrist is, here's some warning. He said the real anointing warns against false ministers who are the antithesis of Jesus and his spirit as described in Isaiah 11. They are ignorant of God and his counsel. They're arrogant. They're boastful. They're self-serving. They're haughty. They treat God as common. They have no fear of God, nor do they achieve the fruit of the Messiah. So start watching these characteristics. God don't want none of his children sitting up in mega churches or wherever you're at and just be ignorant. You don't know nothing going on. All you can hear them talk about now is money, 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 prosperity, money. And your church, a lot of them is sitting up there bound up. And all you can talk about is money? Give me a break. I'm sick of it. Because if God said he will supply your every need, why do every time I call on the TV, all I hear you talking about is money? Self-serving. Remember what I said about a false prophet? Self-serving. We need to wake up, Christians. You've been duped long enough. You've been sending these churches year after year. They keep telling you you're going to get rich. It's no more than a lottery. And it's going on in the church. You may as well, this $500 million lottery, people lined up, blocked, to get a one winning ticket. That ain't nothing but witchcraft. That ain't nothing. Luck, if you're talking about luck, that is a demon god. And if Christians are, if you're participating in this, we're talking about doorways that you open yourself up to these false spirits, false anointings, false Christ, because you're ignorant. You do everything the world say. Even with our holidays, we have engrafted paganism intertwined in our supposedly Christian holidays. A lot of us don't even know what the Easter egg means. We don't even know what type of gods is involved with this particular thing. Are we celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, or are we doing something because the holler, because television tell us this is what you need to do? Well, friends, I got a message for you. You can worship God in spirit and in truth 24 days, 24/7, 365 days out the year. You don't need one day designated for a Hollywood or television to tell you this is your religious duty. Because when the anointed one is in you, you're going to worship him all the time. It's not going to be one designated day. Let me go on. Okay, it says 1 John 2:18, dear children, this is the last hour, as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. receive what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. It's like he's pleading with you. Listen, dear children. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as the anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Don't stray away. When you receive the true anointing of God, don't go looking after other gods to get you more power. This is the same law, the same bar to Eve. You shall be as little g God. You will get this enlightenment. Well, my God, you was walking and talking with the God of all universe. Why was you seeking something outside of God? You already had the power of God. You already had his anointing. Why was you looking for something else to enlighten your this third way, this new enlightenment? Anybody coming teaching that is of the devil. Because everything you need is in the power of God. They are stored by this enlightenment. If you got the anointed one, Christ in you, you have the power of God in you. And I know I may be coming hard, but my heart hurts because I see so many people deceived, so many people crying out. And when you get these foreign demon spirits in you, these mega pastors is not there to get you deliverance. So you got people burned up. They don't know how to get free. Then the things start tormenting them. Then they'll just keep wearing them down. And if they don't get deliverance, usually they'll lose their mind. And I don't want that. I don't want to see you bound up. It says there's only one anointed one. If we are truly given that anointing, it is more than a feeling. It is an imitation of Christ in our very members, his mind, his heart, his deeds. 2 John 1:7-11, many deceivers have gone out into the world. Any such person is a deceiver and an antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked works. 1 Timothy 6:11, but you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. See what he's saying? He's putting it out there to let you know that even then, over 2,000 years ago, false prophets were coming out and deceiving the people. And if you don't have a relationship with God, 9 times out of 10, you could get carried away with all these false anointings. I'm reading to you out of 2 Peter. 2 Peter 2:1-3. It says false prophets, but there were false prophets also among the people. This refers to false prophets who plagued Israel both. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who probably shall bring in damnable heresies. Some of the stuff they're teaching today is not even scripture. They take the scripture, and then I just read earlier, if you put one lie in the truth, then you make it a whole lie. I don't care how much they say, well, the scripture is true, but if they pervert it with one lie, it becomes a lie. Just like how the devil presented it to Eve. You shall be as God. He perverted it. He twisted it. He made it a lie as she bought it. People are buying it today because they're greedy for power. They're greedy, and it's just a self-serving, unsatiable appetite for power. If you receive Christ, you have the power of God in you. Stop running after other idol gods because the destruction of those things is devastating. It may be good for a minute, but they can only pretend for so long. They only can pretend as an angel of light for so long.
Amen.
Then they have to turn. I want to bring out this false anointing.
Go ahead.
Amen. And I know I'm exuberant. I'm energetic tonight. Praise
You're doing
God.
Good. Doing good.
This is what the Holy Ghost do. I mean, this is that Holy Ghost power. Like when Peter was teaching, and that boldness of the Lord rose up in him, and he began to teach. This is what the Holy Ghost would do. And demon spirits know the voice of the Lord when the Lord is speaking to them. Okay, false anointing, warning against Antichrist, false or counterfeit anointed one. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. And I read it, but I'm reading out the King James. As for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true, and is not a lie, counterfeit, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. 1 John 2:26-27. For such men are false apostles. You know, this apostle, everybody is an apostle now. You don't need to even check their lifestyle or their credentials according to the Bible. Oh, I'm an apostle. I guess it's a catchy title. He said they're false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. That's in 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. God is not pleased with false preachers, false anointing, false Christ, antichrist, walking around teaching people lies, because you're getting them more bound up. And they're hearing all these heresies, and they're not falling to the Christ. They turn into a carnal man who cannot set them free, only the power of Jesus Christ. False anointing versus true biblical anointing. The true anointing is God, the Holy Spirit, third person of the triune Godhead. See John 14:16, 1 John 2:20, and many other references. The false anointing is a satanic counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. This counterfeit can be very clearly seen in cultic and occult manifestations of pagan religions. Sadly, undiscerning Christian leaders and known false teachers are applying biblical terminology to this so-called anointing, and they say it is the work of the Holy Spirit. In doing so, they designate the person of the Holy Spirit as an impersonal force that can be manipulated, and the will of man. Remember how I say that arrogant? He said, let us come humbly. We have to humble ourselves. You can't come to before God in command of God, or Almighty God. Who do you think you are? But I see it all the time. Command that. The only thing you should be casting out is demon spirits. But do you see them casting them out in the church? It's and let me go on, experience. They want more experience festivals. They want exotic, this exotic India, this Kundalini spirit, and a host of other occult websites define very clearly what this counterfeit anointing is. And they call it, like I said earlier, enlightenment. We do not recommend surfing them sites, because if you're not rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, you could get something that you don't want. Okay? So the number one step, like I said, get the Holy Spirit of God in you. And I tell you, we had a teaching on the Holy Spirit. You don't even hear that too much in the churches being taught nowadays. Okay, defining what the Bible means about anointing. The main biblical idea of anointing has to do with being set apart for holy purposes. The satanic counterfeit is a setting apart for satanic deception. that produces confusion and delusion. You see what I'm saying? So Satan is a counterfeit. That's why you have to have discernment, because he will come to you as an angel of light. Most of these people in Kundalini, the way they get caught up, they'll do that false impartation. Then you get the spirit of the devil imparted in you. And for a minute you get this enlightenment, your eyes open and you can see all these visions and dreams and all this stuff. But then the end results, they turn on you and they start tormenting you. Then you start seeing demon spirits. Then you start, you can't rest at night. You see how he's a counterfeit? He'll come as an angel of life, but he said his destruction, the end, is severe. Satan turns. He's like a serpent. He'll turn on you, just like these people with these, some of these pet snakes. And they'll have them in the house, and then pythons, before you know it, he and they're looking in the baby's carriage. The devil don't love you. The devil hates you. So those of you listening, if you're practicing this stuff tonight, you need to repent, because it's not of God. Do not confuse anointing with charisma. And we brought this out Sunday in the service. Too many people is going off of charisma. Because a person can speak well, they say he's anointed. You better check them out, because a lot of things that they're saying is not in the Word of God. I tell people, read the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved. You have to read the Word of God, because he said in the last days many false Christs shall arise. King James Version, for when they speak, this is talking about false prophets, but when they speak great swelling words of vanity, think about vanity, all they talk about, well, God bought me a new home, 10,000 square feet. I asked the Lord, Lord, so you want that boy? I said, yeah, Lord. Vanity. Vanity. Teach that mess, this prosperity mess, to third world countries when people is literally dying for the name of Jesus Christ and they don't have anything. Take that gospel over there. I don't think it'll last. Because I tell you, that prosperity gospel haven't endured me all these years, because I put my trust in Jesus Christ. And my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I don't need a vain man standing up there with Rolex watches, designer suits, $300, $400 suits with a vain reputation. And what they do, they lure people in because of the vanity, because they know that's how you get to people. You get to them by showing them a lot of junk, because that's where a lot of people's mindset is. I don't want to serve God because what he did at the cross, which is all he needed to do. Do you understand the significance of that? He died so that you might have a right to eternal life. What greater price is there than your soul to be united with Jesus Christ forever? Why are you running after all this false anointing, false prophecies? Everywhere there's a meeting, you going there. I got to get this. I got to get that. Why don't you receive Jesus? I just had to take a drink. Okay, let's go on. He said, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they are lured through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, and overcome the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. See, God's going to deal with these. God's going to deal with you. And I hope some of you is listening to this program tonight, because I stand flat-footed and I tell you that you're teaching error, because you lean people away from God and you lean them to yourself. God is sick of it. God is tired. And I'll stand up and I'll tell you, you're wrong. He said, for it had been better for them to have not known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. but it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. This is how God look at them, like dogs. He called them in one part, I think it's in Isaiah, he called them greedy dogs. All they want to do is consume upon their own lust. That's why they can't talk about deliverance. That's why everything they talk about, they got to intertwine with money. They could be talking about the blood of Christ in some kind of way, the end result is talking about money. Look, God, it is right to give, but you shouldn't be so consumed with, when I give, I want my stuff back. That's the wrong motive. Here are six facets of the Holy Spirit, and this is how you could judge the true anointing versus the false anointing. There's wisdom. When you receive the Holy Spirit, God gives you wisdom. So you shouldn't be sitting up there and unknowledgeable about these wrong, deceptive spirits, because the Holy Spirit will speak in your spirit and tell you, you need to get up out of here. Something in your spirit should tell you something ain't right. Or when he says something that's twisted out of scripture, the Holy Spirit should say, the Bible don't say that. You see what I'm saying? He said wisdom in a good sense, skillful wisdom, talking about from God, wisely wit. Then you have understanding, understanding knowledge, meaning perfect by understanding wisdom. That's why I don't understand why Eve received that when he told her that she would have knowledge. She already had it through the Holy Spirit. But she fell for that lie because she was greedy. She wanted more. And that's why a lot of people get caught up. They want more. Then he said counsel, Hebrews advice, plan also, prudence, advice, advisement, counsel, purpose. I ain't talking about the purpose-driven life, a purpose-driven lie. God already know the purpose. He told Jeremiah, I knew you when you were formed in your mother's womb. I already knew my destiny and purpose for your life. I do not need a man standing behind a pulpit telling me what my purpose is. I need to see God, not no man. See God to know what he wants you to do. Amen. Zechariah 4:6. Then he answered and spake. Then I want to go to Mike. Current of air, breath, blast, or a breeze, vital principle, mental disposition, superhuman. It can be an angel or it can be a demon. So you got to know how to discern the two. Or divine God, Christ Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, life, spirit. You see what I'm saying? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Zechariah 4:6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's not by our might. It's not by our spirit. It's by God. So if anybody is getting caught up in their own carnal desires and look at me and come over here because I got this special kind of anointing, you got to open your eyes. Because what is he pulling you to? He's pulling you to himself. And when we do the deliverance, when we do prayer, all glory go up to God. That's why the disciples, when they was bowing down, trying to worship them, Paul said, get off your knees, because we're mere men just like you. You do not worship us. God do not want to share his glory with no man, not even the devil. That's why he kicked them out of heaven. Over in Ephesians 3:16-19, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. And then the fifth facet of the Holy Spirit is knowledge, cunning knowledge, aware. See reference about answer, appoint, assuredly. He answers for a certainty. Declare can cause to discern. Then you have the fear of the Lord. Should you not fear me, declares the Lord? Should you not tremble in my presence? Now I'm not talking about how, you know, you'd be fearful of a demon, oh God. I'm talking about a holy reverential fear. In Hebrews, it means to reverent fear, terror, dread, normally translated simply fear. There are other words in Hebrew for mere respect. And that's why I say they be arrogant. A lot of preachers that's in some of these cults, they so arrogant.
Amen.
They don't have a reverential fear for God. Then these are some of the things that we should be careful about. And over in Acts 8:1-25, I told you about Simon the sorcerer. When he seen the power of the Holy Spirit going forth, he wanted to find a way that he could market that. He wanted to put it on display to bring power and money to himself. And the disciples spoke up and told him that your money perished with you. See, that's what I'm saying. A lot of sorcerers and mediums and Christians running to them for a reading and they want to know what the future is. That is nothing but sorcery, divination, witchcraft. You don't need to be going seeking your horoscope. See, these are ways you open doors, and demons can come into your household because you open doors to these demonic spirits. So that's why I say we need to break a lot of that. Wherever Jesus went, demons was crying out because that person's inner man, they wanted to be set free. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to set the captives free. He came to mend the broken heart. So if you're bound up tonight and you want to be set free, the power of God is able to break every demonic yoke in your life. But you got to cry out to him. You got to humble yourself. First, you need to repent. If you've been dabbling in witchcraft, the occult, any kind of sorcery, you need to repent. You need to renounce this demonic spirit. And then ask the Lord to fill you with his true Holy Spirit. And I hope this teaching has been a blessing to you. I know I was kind of, you know, maybe a little more emotional than usual, but it was just a stirring in my spirit. And I just hope you were blessed by this. At this time, I will turn it over to Pastor Bobby. Amen.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Now, we truly enjoyed that by Sister Montgomery. And she really covered a wide base of topics and subjects in reference to the anointing destroys the yoke. And that's what destroys the yoke. It's the anointing of God. That's what destroys the yoke. No man of his own can destroy anything in the spiritual realm. He has to have the anointing of Jesus Christ in his life. He has to be filled with the Holy Ghost to do anything in the spirit, because that's what motivates the faith and the Spirit of God to move in your life. Now, I want to bring out some more things in reference to the anointing. Now, Sister Montgomery already brought out what that really meant, but I kind of want to bring out the origination of this anointing. Now, the anointing to anoint, to bring out anointing, it comes from a practice of shepherds, shepherds that herded sheep. Now, what would happen, lice and other insects would get into the wool of sheep. And when they got near the sheep's head, they could burrow. They could burrow or dig deep into the sheep's ears, and they would eventually kill the sheep. So you have lice and other insects. They would get into the wool of the sheep. They would move up toward the sheep's head. Then they would burrow or dig into the sheep's ears and kill the sheep. So what the ancient shepherds used to do, they would take oil and pour oil all over the sheep's head. Now, what this oil did is made the wool slippery. It made the wool slippery. And when the wool was slippery, it was impossible for these insects, the lice, ticks, and other insects, to get near the sheep's ear, because they couldn't get a grip and they would just slide off. See that? Slide off. That anointing of God will keep demonic spirits from getting into your mind. You see? When you have the anointing, when you have the Word of God in you, you will not step out from under the protection of Jesus Christ. Therefore, demonic spirits evil spirits will not get into your mind, because if they get into your mind, they desire to kill you. Remember, the devil is only about three things: stealing and killing. That's what he's about. Stealing and killing. That's what he's about. He's a liar. He lies. He steals. He kills. That's what he's about. He's not coming to. Like was said earlier, he'll give you some stuff, but the end result is to destroy you. False anointings destroy. But the true anointing of Jesus Christ builds up, it delivers, it sets free, it makes you whole, it heals you, it opens up your blind eyes, it causes the deaf to hear, it causes the dumb to speak. It caused leprosy to fall off. It caused palsy to fall off. That's what the anointing does. The anointing destroys the yoke. And when we say destroy the yoke, we mean it completely obliterates it. There's nothing left. That's what the anointing does. But we're going to get into this another a little bit more. Now, in reference to the sheep, the anointing covering the sheep's head caused the insects to slide out so they can't get in the sheep's ear to kill them. Now, from this, anointing became symbolic of blessing, protection, and empowerment. Remember that. The anointing, symbolic of blessing, protection, and empowerment. Now, the Greek word for anoint is krill, which means to smear or rub with oil. It's an implication to consecrate for office of religious service. Now, back in the Old Testament, you could anoint for three different purposes. You could anoint to be a king, to be a prophet, and then also to be a builder, etc. Now, there's nothing wrong with anointing a person with oil today, but we have to make sure that the purpose of anointing is in agreement with the scripture. Anointing should not be viewed as a magic potion. It's not a magic potion. The oil itself does not have any power in itself. It's only God that can anoint a person for a specific purpose. If we use oil, it is only a symbol of what God is doing. You see? So the oil in itself has nothing. It's only a symbol of what God is doing. The oil in itself doesn't have a magic potion. So your faith should not be in anointing oil. It should be in God. The anointing breaks the yoke, but that anointing is God. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. That is your anointing. It's not a man. It's not the oil. It's faith in God. It's faith in the Holy Ghost. It's that anointing that God gives. Now, I'm going to bring out something else. Now, another meaning for the word anointed is chosen one, which had been brought out a little bit earlier. But we're going to go into some scriptures on that. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit to spread the good news and free those who have been held captive by sin. That's Luke 4:18-19. Now, Acts 10:38, I'm going to read that to you. Acts 10:38, Jesus Christ was anointed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. Did you hear that? Jesus Christ was anointed by God with the Holy Ghost and with power. And what did he do with this anointing? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, Sister Montgomery brought out earlier about that false anointing. You see the difference. When you have the true anointing of God in you, that Holy Ghost, you got Jesus Christ in you, you're going to do good. You're going to heal people, and you're going to deliver those who are oppressed. Why? Because you have the anointing of God in your life. The subject that we were talking about tonight is the anointing destroys the yoke. The anointing will destroy every yoke. The anointing will destroy anything and everything that the devil puts on you. Why? Because God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing, and God is everywhere. So if you have God in your life, if you have the anointing of Jesus Christ in your life, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then you can destroy the yoke in your life and in the lives of others. That is the reason why we have this anointing, to destroy the works of the enemy. You cannot destroy the works of the enemy if you do not have the anointing of God. Now, if you have a false anointing, you're not destroying the works of the enemy. What is going on is the enemy is destroying you because he's putting something on you that you can't get rid of unless you turn to God, unless you turn to God, unless you turn to Jesus Christ, unless you have the Holy Spirit moving in your life, you're going to be bound. Now, if we could do it on our own, then Jesus Christ would not have had to come, walk and talk, preach the word of God, be crucified, okay, die on the cross, be resurrected on the third day, and then to be seen of some 500 when he was resurrected, go back to the Father, sit on the right hand of the Father, then send the Holy Ghost back to us so that we could have the same anointing that he had, so that we can do greater works than he did. And when I say greater works, it's going to be of great quantity. It's going to be of great quality, because Jesus said that. He said we would do greater works. Now, you can go with that any way you want to go with it, but Jesus said it. And that's all I'm going to say right there. Now, if you don't believe it, then you won't be doing greater works. That's all to it. If you don't believe the word of God, then you can't do the word of God, because it's based on faith. Now, it says when you get into the anointing of God, my Lord, it's wide open. Because, see, one thing about the Holy Ghost, one thing about the anointing, once you get into the anointing, it will reveal things to you on how you should live, how you can live. It gives you the power to live for God. It will give you the power to defeat the things in your life that you had been struggling with. That's what the anointing does. The anointing also gives you strategies, and it tells you and gives you information on what the enemy is doing to slow you down or to defeat you. It will give you the battle strategy of the enemy so that you can defeat him, because the Holy Ghost knows all things, and he will tell you what you need to do to live a victorious life. The anointing does that also. Now, in John 14 and 16, we get a little more information on this anointing. John 14 and 16, let me get this for you. And it brings out some more things for us. Now, when we talk about the anointing, you know, people, they kind of take that for granted, and they say, well, you know, he's anointed, like Sister Montgomery said earlier, he's anointed because he sounds good. Or he's anointed because he can hoop. Or he's anointed because he's got a beautiful voice. But we don't need to be caught up in that necessarily. What we need to see is how the Spirit of God actually moves through this brother or sister in his actions, in what he does, and how he lives his life. That's how you can tell that anointing. That's how you can try the Spirit. You try the Spirit by the word of God, and you also try the Spirit by how this person is living after he leaves the pulpit. Does that anointing stay with him? Okay. Does that anointing stay with him? Is he pulling people to God all the time or just when he's at church? Because the scripture tells us in the word that a prophet can prophesy the truth. He can prophesy truth, but after he prophesies that truth, is he leading you to God? Or is he leading you away from God? If he's leading you away from God, he's a false prophet, even though he told the truth. It's separate from anointing. It's a false anointing. Now, John 14 and 16 reads, I'm going to read a couple of verses here. It says, now this is Jesus speaking. Jesus said in John 14 and 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Listen to this. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Now Jesus said that. He said he's going to send the Holy Spirit, that anointing. And he said he's going to dwell with you, and he shall be in you. So, if the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is in you that Jesus sent to you, you have the anointing that can destroy every yoke. So that means that you do not have to listen and obey the enemy. You do not have to accept his lies. You don't have to accept his false anointings. Because you have the authority over him. And that's another type of anointing. It's an anointing of authority that God has given you. Now, that authority is in Jesus Christ. Okay? So when you have Jesus Christ in your life or in you, and you have the Holy Spirit in you, you already have the anointing and the authority over the evil one. You just have to use it. You have to believe it. You have to use it. You have to exercise it. Because God has already given you the victory through Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he gave us the anointing to destroy the yoke. Well, now we know that Jesus is the one that destroyed the yoke, but with the Holy Ghost and Jesus living in us, we have that authority that the Lord has given us, and we can exercise it. We do not have to be bound to the enemy. Remember, the anointing destroys the yoke completely, grinds it to powder. No devil, no demon, no foul spirit can stand against the anointing of God. Now, I'm going to bring out some more scriptures in Jesus' name. Now, all Christians are anointed, chosen for a specific purpose in furthering God's kingdom. That's why we have that anointing. 1 John 2:20, let me read a little of that to you. I want you to remember that. 2:20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Now, when it says ye know all things, that means the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost knows all things, and the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit will reveal this to you. The devil doesn't know everything, but he goes off of what you say and how you act. He goes off of what you say and how you act. That's what the devil goes off of. So if you're saying something contrary to the Spirit of God, he acts off that. If you're doing something contrary to the things of God, he acts off that. So remember that. The devil doesn't know everything. God knows everything. You just heard it. The Spirit of God knows everything, and he will relay that to you for the furtherance of the kingdom and for your strength in God and for you to use your authority in God and for you to live a victorious life in God. Now, we may have some trouble in this life, but Jesus has already taken care of all that. He said, yeah, we would have some tribulation. We would have some trouble, but be of good cheer, because why? He has already overcome all of that. So we can truly trust in God. We can truly trust in the anointing of Jesus Christ. We can truly trust in the anointing of God. We can truly trust in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That is what we need. That is what we need to be strengthened in, the anointing of God. We need it desperately, especially in these days and times, when the enemy is doing everything he can to destroy God's people. We need to flow in the anointing. Now, I'm going to go over to 2 Corinthians 1:21-22. Now, the Lord who established us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee, 2 Corinthians 1:21-22. So we have some guarantees in the Spirit of God. First, we have the guarantee of salvation, because salvation is the work of the Holy Spirit. Another thing, we have a guarantee of the Holy Spirit, that the Lord will keep us and guide us and teach us all things. He'll reveal things to us. He will keep us in all righteousness. But we have, now one thing we have to do, we have to act on what we say in the Word. We have to act on our faith. We have to move on our faith. We have to move in this anointing. We cannot operate in fear, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So we must exercise our anointing. And before I go any further, I'm going to give out our call-in number. Somebody might have a desire to call in. The call-in number is 323-375-0849. That's 1-323-375-0849. So anyone who is listening out there and has a desire to call in, if they have a testimony or have something they would want to say, you can call in and we will give you time to speak and express yourself. Of course, if you're calling in with some kind of soapbox and you want to argue, then that's not going to happen. But if you have a legitimate call, you have a testimony, you want to speak something, you have an opinion, you can do that. The guest call-in number is 1-323-375-0849. That's 1-323-375-0849. Now, I want to bring out some more scriptures to you in reference to the anointing. Now, Joel 2:28, and these are familiar scriptures, it says, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." Now, the Lord is talking about the outpouring of his spirit in what time? In this time that we're living in. I say they shall prophesy truth, not falsehood. The dreams that they have will come from God in reference to the kingdom of God, and the young man shall see visions. They will see visions in reference to the kingdom of God, straight from God, revealing things to us that we don't naturally know. But the Spirit of God will give us the answer that we need. So he's going to pour out his anointing on all flesh. He's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. And when they get this on, they're going to start speaking the word of God. They're going to start dreaming the dreams that God will have. They will see visions that God will give us in reference to the kingdom of God, in reference to the deliverance, in reference to setting people free, in reference to the plans that God has for his people on this earth, Joel 2:28. The Holy Ghost will move according to his plan. Now look at Isaiah 10:27. It says, "And in that day, his burden will depart from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be broken because of the fat of the word of God." The fat of the Holy Spirit. Hold on a moment. We have a caller. Yes, caller. 9212, you have a question or testimony?
Well, actually, I have a short testimony. This is Sister Jackson.
Yes.
Yes. Well, in short, I just wanted to say, as a little girl growing up, I noticed that there were some spiritual giftings, but I was left uncovered in more ways than one. Grew up in an environment where there were not many people that went to church. And so I experienced some dreams and visions, but did not really get any help with that. And being in an abusive environment, that left me open for even more. And so I eventually left home when I was 17 years old. And fast forwarding, I began to try to find a way, I guess, to really deal with those particular spiritual giftings. And I was just really a teenager at the time, grown woman now. And began to recognize that there were some things wrong while I was working within a church setting. And so wanting to follow God, I just basically said, okay, God, if anything is wrong, I don't want any polluted or tainted gifts. I'm going to sit myself down and let you do what needs to be done in me and show me what needs to be done.
All right, Sister Jane.
Little did I know, that was the start of a lot of work, and that is when he began to reveal that I was under a lot of false doctrine within the church setting. All of those things began to move the worldliness out of me, which is associated with witchcraft and New Ageism and all of those things. So he's still unfolding some things, but in short, that was what I was dealing with. And so I'm just here to say that delving in that stuff is really no joke. I've had to deal with demonic spirits without a doubt. They have walked through my house, have even said things to me like, won't you give up? And, of course, I'm like, I'm standing in Jesus Christ, standing on Ephesians 6, and I'm going to keep standing in Jesus' name. But they try to wear me down a lot of times, and so they come at me hard, coming against my family, coming against all of those things. But I know that I cannot give up. What is the alternative? No. I refuse to serve you. I can already see you hate me.
Exactly.
You come to steal, kill, and destroy. You hate me. You hate my family. Why would I give up and want to serve you?
I cannot do that
in Jesus' name. And so I've been having to step out and really do what needs to be done, because obviously the enemy, he will tag team with others. In order to come against you. And so you have to do what you need to do in order to get the support and everything else you need in order to break free from all of that. And that's basically what I've been doing. So I'm still dealing with some things, but with all the things that God has been doing with me, has been one in particular, eat the book.
Learn the book. Eat it, learn it, everything you can.
So you will recognize this false doctrine, or when he comes at you, you can recognize, okay, I know about the cross now. I didn't know about that before.
I know. You know what I mean? That's right.
Yes.
And why in the world, when I think about it, why would I want to serve a false God? God is the only living and true God. Why would I want to serve something less? But when you're out there doing that stuff and operating in worldliness, you don't know. You really don't. And so
because I was dealing with...
Go ahead.
When you were saying about opening the doors, and if you could just elaborate on that for our audience, what are some ways that they open doors out of ignorance or just not knowing?
Well, for me, it was just really out of ignorance, because I didn't know anything about these different spirits. I was sitting there like a lot of people watching television. I can see it clearly today, discerning, watching television. They have things come on like Wizard or Waverly Place. You got, cartoons now throwing up Illuminati signs, the pyramid and all of those things, exposing your children to witchcraft and all of that. And when you're sitting up and you don't have the proper guidance or direction like I didn't, growing up, I was just like, oh, okay, well, this is just a normal thing. And so you're watching this and you're thinking it's okay, or you're watching, let's say, Lifetime television, and this woman is sharing a story about her brother, for instance, that died, and she almost had a car accident, and she remembers seeing her brother, save her life. And you're listening to that as a teenager, you're like, wow, but you don't know the real spirit behind it. But when you begin to learn, you realize they're opening you up to necromancy. Speaking to the dead. Because once you really begin to get in the Word, you learn, God says that when you leave, you're like angels, which means that you don't come back here. You're up there with heaven.
That's right.
So that doesn't make sense. But when you're young and don't know any better or not in the Word, you are fooled by that. You're hoodwinked. And I have to say that I was out of ignorance.
All right.
At that particular time. So I'm just grateful now that all is being exposed, but it forced me, you know, to have to get in the Word. And and unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that view the Word as not important or validated. That is unfortunate. But the Word is going to teach you the truth.
That's right.
That's
right.
That's true. Yeah.
And so, in dealing with my issue, I've had to get in the Word, and I've had to learn it, and I'm still getting in it, and I'm still learning, you know, every day, because you have to humble yourself and get in the Word and allow God to really pull that stuff up out of you and cut out, uproot everything that is not of Him. Because I want to serve Him not polluted or tainted. I want the real gift so I can do greater works in His name. So that is basically my testimony in short. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Sister Jackson. thanks for calling in. And you'll have some help.
Amen. We will be following up with you. Okay? Thank you.
Okay,
bless
thank you so much.
Okay, all right. Appreciate your call.
And I wanted to bring out when the sister mentioned about the familiar spirit, and a lot of people don't realize what a familiar spirit is, but the Bible has plenty of references to familiar spirits. In Leviticus 19:31, it talks about familiar spirits. Leviticus 26 through 27. Then you have Deuteronomy, 1 Samuel 28:3, 1 Samuel 28:7, 8, and 9, 2 Kings 21:6, 23, 24, 1 Chronicles 10:13, 2 Chronicles 33:6, Isaiah 8:19, Isaiah 19:3, Isaiah 29:4. Now, if this was not an issue, would it be mentioned all these times in the Bible?
No, it wouldn't.
You see what I'm saying? And what it means, necromancy is like a ventriloquist. As this is out the Hebrew, as a form, a jar. Remember the genie in the bottle. Familiar spirits, necromancy. Deuteronomy 18:11, spirits or wizards. And then out of the Hebrew, seek or ask, worship, inquire, make inquisitions, questions, require, search, seek out. Then over in Hebrews it says necromancy means to die, to kill, to be dead, death, destroy, must be, slay, surely, times very suddenly. Now look at all that death and destruction.
Yes.
This is what happens when you get caught up in this.
That's right.
I don't care if you're going seeking a familiar soothsayer about the lottery numbers. I don't care if you're looking in that horoscope talking about I want to know my what I need to do today. Those are forms of the occult. And people are ignorantly, like the sister
That's
said,
right.
out of ignorance, they open these doors.
That's
it's
right.
all throughout the TV. The TV is saturated. Look at, what is that, Nicki Minaj. She did her ceremony on live TV.
That's right.
And folks sitting up there with their mouth wide open talking about some entertainment. That girl was sending out demons throughout that live talk television audience.
That's right.
We better be careful about what we call entertainment.
That's
because
right.
Because Satan is so deceptive. And he'll come in through a television show. He can come in through music. He can
That's
come
right.
in through, like I say, the horoscope. Even some of your associations. I have seen some of these lying prophets in the church and talk about the Spirit of the Lord told me such and such. It ain't nothing but a spirit of divination.
That's right.
They be lying.
That's right. And another thing we have to realize, when they say familiar spirit, what they're actually saying, and Sister Montgomery brought that out beautifully, but it is a spirit that is studying and watching you.
Yeah.
So it can lie to you and deceive you. So those whatever these things are telling you, he's just going off of what you do and what you say, and he's bringing it back to you to trick you and to trap you. It's a demonic spirit that just sit around and study and watch you, and then he'll come back and tell you some stuff to deceive you and to make you think that you got some kind of supernatural power, or this person got all this power, and he don't. It's a demon.
It's a devil,
and it's a demon just deceiving you.
That's right. That's right.
And that's all it is.
And like I was saying, they a lot of these shows are so laced with demonic witchcraft, and people sit up there and they go look at all this stuff, this Hunger Games and all this stuff. You're just opening yourself up to demons. And if you're not covered in the blood, you better be very careful. And like I said, we go back to the anointing. The Holy Spirit, the God of Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob inside of you, there should be a little flag alert. Something should be going up. Even when some of these folks stand up behind the pulpit and you know that what they're saying is twisted, if you know the scriptures. But see, that's the thing. A lot of people don't know the scriptures because they're not studying the Word of God. So when these men come forth with lies and vain repetitions, you take it in hook, line, and sinker. Why? Because it's catering to your flesh. So if they tell you at one of these meetings, I can impart this spirit on you, you ain't asking what kind of spirit. You just said, I want this power. And when they impart this demonic spirit on you, then you get that enlightenment for a season, but then that demon spirit will turn on you and bring destruction and
yes.
and everything else. Amen?
Amen. Oh, yes. There's something I want to bring out. Because we're talking about the anointing destroying the yoke, and I know there's many people out there listening that may be struggling with some things. They may be bound by something. They may be struggling with some things. They might have some demonic attacks on them. The enemy might be dealing with their mind. The enemy might be doing a whole lot of different things. But one thing that we're talking about is that the enemy may be doing those things. But you have to remember that the anointing destroys every yoke. And when we say destroy, that means it's completely taken out of the way. There's no remnant of it left. That's what the Holy Ghost does. Now, I'm going to read some scriptures to you in reference to this anointing breaking and destroying the yoke. Now, Mark 6:13 reads, "And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them."
Amen.
Did you hear that? It said they cast, this is what the anointing does. The anointing cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Now another scripture reads, Acts 19:11-12, "And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them." That anointing. Now listen to this. Now here's another thing that Paul did. It said, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of his power." So you see the power of God moving. Now there's another element of scripture where Peter, the anointing moved through him in such a way that his shadow, it's in the scripture, read it, his shadow fell on people, and they were healed, set free, and demons left them from his shadow. Now, that's the anointing. The anointing flowed through Peter, flowed through Paul, flowed through the apostles, and demons left, diseases left,
amen,
oppression left, depression left, conditions of the mind left, blind eyes were open. Deaf ears were unstopped.
Yes. Amen.
Mutes began to speak.
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
Because of that anointing. So we must realize we must not give up on Jesus Christ or his anointing, because that, I'll say it like this. I don't care how bad your situation is. I don't care how bad it looks.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus will and can bring you through. You have to hold on. You cannot believe the lies of the devil.
Yes.
You cannot do that. You have to believe the word of God, because the word of God is true.
That's
it's
right.
life. It's deliverance.
Yeah.
Jesus said he came to set the captive free.
Amen.
So he came to set you free, but it's by his anointing.
Yes.
Hold on to that. Believe that.
Yes.
And see, won't he do it for you?
Yes. And like
the word of God will go out and accomplish what God sends it out to do. It will not come back void. It's going to do what God tells it to do. So we got about 9 minutes left. I have a couple of more scriptures I want to read to you. And it says, now listen, John 3:16-17. You know this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen to this here. He said not perish, but have eternal life. Now, he's not just talking about in heaven or kingdom. Jesus wants you to be free in this life. He does not want you to be bound by demonic oppression. He does not desire for you to be tormented by demons. He wants to set you free. And he will set you free, because that's what he was sent for. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. That's why we have the Holy Ghost. Because the anointing is in the Word. The anointing is in Christ Jesus. The anointing is in the Holy Ghost. So when we get in the Word and we get the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit within us, we have Christ in our life. That anointing will destroy every yoke and bondage that the enemy would desire to place on us.
Amen.
But we have to walk in it. We have to believe it. We have to exercise faith. We have to keep on exercising the word of God. We have to obey the Spirit.
Yes.
Because the Spirit will begin to talk to us and tell us certain things that we need to do that we might be delivered.
Amen.
Yeah. He'll do
I
that.
I wanted to bring out this too about the miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm coming out of Acts 19. It says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul.
Yes.
And that's the power of God. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or apron.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about, like Pastor said earlier, the aprons didn't do it, but it was the anointing of the power of God that was able to break the yoke, destroy the yoke. He said, aprons and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. You see what I'm saying? So when we walk in the anointing and we believe in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, demons have to flee.
That's right.
They have
That's
no
right.
residence there.
That's right.
What you do,
oh,
you have
God.
To renounce them.
Yes.
And you have to say, I don't want any part of you anymore. You renounce everything, anything that has opened doors. If there's some unconfessed sin in your life, renounce that, repent of that. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the Lord to forgive you for practicing idolatry, which is witchcraft. Lord, I didn't understand then, but I do now that was a false idolatry. That was idolatry. Lord, I repent of that. Lord, I renounce that. You see? But it starts with humbling yourself, because a lot of people, they get caught up, well, you know, we're dealing with a case now out of Canada. Renounce that thing. There is no power greater than the power of God that is in you. But you got to believe that. You have to tell the devil when he comes in the door, I have the power of the living God living in me, and my God is able to destroy you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got 5 minutes and 39 seconds left. If there's anyone else who would desire to call in this time, they can, 323-375-0849. And we're talking about the anointing that destroys the yoke. And we hear a lot of people, you know, they'll say that. But, you know, it's more than just saying it. You got to have this in you, body, soul, and spirit. You got to have the mindset of the anointing destroying the yoke that's in your life.
Amen.
You see, you can't just talk it. You got to walk it. You see.
That's right.
Because
now,
when you're talking about the anointing destroying the yoke, when you trust in God to destroy a yoke in your life, then you got to walk in that direction that yoke would be destroyed. Sometimes it's going to be hard. It's just like if you got a drinking problem. Now, if you're bound in alcohol and you're saying the anointing destroys the yoke of this alcoholism, then that means that you don't go to that tavern and buy that alcohol. Or you don't constantly sit around and talk about how you had your last drink, and you don't hang around people who drink all the time. If you're saying this, if you want to be delivered from a spirit of alcoholism, then you need to pour that alcohol out. Throw that bottle away.
Yeah.
If you're saying
that. That's a form of bondage.
It's a form of bondage.
Yeah.
So we can't just talk anointing. We have to walk it. We have to believe it.
Yeah.
We have to
exercise
it. We have to obey the word of God. We have to obey people who are giving us instruction, proper instruction, in reference to the word of God and in reference to the Holy Spirit for your deliverance.
Amen. Amen.
Oh. That's how that works. Because if you're bound up by something and you don't know how to break free, and God send you somebody who's given some revelation on how to break free from this thing, then you need to listen to that person. What happens so many times when people get bound up by something, they go to the wrong somebodies and listen to them, and they make their situation worse. And the wrong somebodies is false prophets, palm readers, people of the occult, witches, warlocks, all these kind of people. It's going to be worse. Because they're not going to take nothing from you. They're going to put more devils and demons on you.
Amen.
So you don't want to go to those people. You want to make sure that person is flowing in the anointing of the Most High God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Amen. So did you want to pray and close us out, Pastor?
Yes, I will.
Amen.
We have 2 minutes left. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you for your word on tonight. We thank you for those who you have touched. Lord, we thank you for bringing revelation to their mind, and we thank you for letting them realize that it is truly the anointing that totally destroys the yoke. Father God, I thank you for having the audience to realize that they have the power over the enemy through the anointing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, by his Holy Ghost, that they can be free from whatever has them bound, whatever has them in depression, whatever has them in oppression, whatever spirit that is trying to destroy them. They have victory, for the Lord has already broken and destroyed the yoke. The battle is already won through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by his Holy Ghost. For the anointing truly destroys every yoke. Father God, I ask that you send peace and deliverance to everyone that is listening on tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
And I just want to say, if you're in the Smyrna area, be sure to join us Sunday from 1 to 5 at the beautiful Smyrna Community Center, and we will see you next week. God bless. Amen. Bye.
Bye.
Got a doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Got a doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Oh, 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 oh. Gotta die, gotta die. So many times I felt like a failure. So many times I call on the Savior, who picked me up when my head is hanging low to the ground, when there's nobody else around. When I felt like giving up, you helped me put the weight down. On my shoulders, big boulders, they roll right off. On my knees, I seek the Father, help me bear my cross. To Calvary I walked, and now my flesh to the cross. Now that I'm found, I can't never ever be lost. I serve the boss, Jesus Christ anointed, paid the cost. For my sin, who burdens got to leave. Keep my head above the sea, fight until I finish my race. I got my crown in heaven, no devil sits in my place. My name can't be erased in this book of life. I die to live to be united with Christ. Spirit over the flesh, it's a constant test. Daily being tempted, so I stay in my best. Spiritual, I mean the word like a box of cereal. The anointing make them demons get straight fearful. Upon me is great as Jesus who lives in me. I got the power of the Trinity, I'm walking in the victory. I'm walking in the victory.